What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron? Dr. Dick? What should we go with
here? You can call me Ron.
I think I would have taken that choice myself. Limits, it's time for the Limitless Express. Let's inject a little levity into the otherwise depressing sports landscape around here.
Let's do it. DeAndre Hopkins has played his final game in the NFL. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid told reporters that Hopkins informed him this morning that he will retire for the NFL. Hopkins played 11 years, including stops with Tennessee, Kansas City, Houston, most impressively, just a really good receiver that now decides to hang it up, Joe.
I thought you were going to say, should the Steelers be interested in
him? Well, I was going to if it was not the news of the day, but Hopkins instead retiring. A little surprised. He's not that old.
I'll tell you what, man. 984 catches for 13,000 yards and 83 touchdowns. Guys have gotten into the Hall of Fame with similar numbers. I'll say that. And not a ton of receivers ever were three straight first-team All-Pros. So from about 17 through 2020, this guy, when he played for the Texans, was a great, great player. 1,400 yards in 2017, 1,400 yards on 96 catches with 13 touchdowns. He was a great player, Limits. And then he started to get injured a little bit. And then was never really the same. But think about this. Last season in Tennessee, which wasn't that long ago, but is proof again that 1 year in the NFL is a lifetime. Last season, he had 75 catches for 1,000 yards, 14.1 per catch, and 7 touchdowns. A lot of people would like to have 1 year like that in their careers.
No doubt.
So congrats to him. That's a hell of a career right there. Let me see his playoff numbers. He got there 4 times with Houston, which, again, if you're scoring at home, has outperformed the Steelers the Texans have over the last 14, 15 years.
The mean.
Yeah. Well, the Steelers have outperformed the mean, just not the Texans.
If you went back in a time machine to, like, 2019 and seeing him and Deshaun Watson play together, man, those were some good teams.
Man, he had about 40 catches for 500 yards in the playoffs, too. Anyway, I'll remember that guy. Really good player. Not a good way to end, though, with that drop in the Super Bowl the other day. That was ridiculous.
But that's something that Xavier Worthy pointed out, that there's going to be changes around here. And he mentioned DeAndre Hopkins specifically by name, that he might be done.
Yeah.
What I took that as is he's done with the Chiefs, not done entirely from the NFL, but kind of surprising there. Fan voting through NFL.com counts for 25% of Super Bowl MVP voting, Joe. We know that Jalen Hurts is the one that won.
I voted on this. I'm a fan.
Okay.
I voted.
Okay, who did you vote for?
Jalen Hurts.
Well, for the Super Bowl, the fans' first place selection was none other than Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean received enough first place votes from the fans to be their selection for it. It ended up going to Hurts, with Cooper DeJean having a pick six in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. I would have been okay seeing a defensive player win MVP in the Super Bowl. We haven't seen it since Von Miller did it. Malcolm Smith did it with Seattle not that long ago, but only nine total in the NFL have done it. I think DeJean would have been a worthy candidate. I think it was his birthday as well.
I mean, he had a pick six. That's true. But I think Josh Sweat, if you're going defensive players, would have been a worthier candidate, in my opinion. But I think, look at the history of Super Bowls. You're going to tell me Jalen Hurts is going to be the first quarterback who had a really good game on a day when his defense was a story and didn't get the MVP? That would have been totally unfair. All he did was set a Super Bowl record for rushing yards by a quarterback, throw the ball great all day, throw for two touchdowns, run for another, run for 72, throw for 221, have one of the prettiest passes in Super Bowl history to Devontae Smith in the end zone. Give me a break here. He's the MVP.
And what I thought also was kind of fascinating is that only once, Joe, has a Super Bowl had a pick six in it occur, and that team lost the game.
Let me try and guess.
Yes.
Were you going to ask me that?
I was.
A pick six where they, I know where, oh no, that was a fumble. Or was it an intercept? Was it the Falcons against Brady, or was that a fumble that they picked up and ran for a touchdown?
What was it?
I'm going to say Falcons.
Yes.
Yes.
You got it.
I got it.
You got it. Now, you started the show talking about depression and anxiety and the state of the Steelers. I have an admission to make.
Yes, sir.
I got duped.
By who?
Fake Adam Schefter.
Oh, no. What did he say?
DeAndre Hopkins did not actually tell Andy Reid, and the text line is blowing me up about it. And I apologize.
Oh,
I just got got. I got got.
God, we have to call you Pomp and Ron Cook.
I got got. It got 2 million impressions, 42,000
views. How can
views.
You fall for the fake Adam Schefter?
I don't know, but I did. I fell for it.
That's
I fell
okay.
for it.
It happens to the best of us and the worst of us, actually, Limits.
Because somebody just said that DeAndre Hopkins actually just replied to that, which that would not make sense that he was actually retiring.
I mean, anybody could retire. I might retire if I tripped over the yard line at the Super Bowl and dropped a ball. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. All right, so DeAndre Hopkins is in play. Should the Steelers be interested? No. Next.
DeAndre Hopkins, I guess, said, don't know what you heard, but I'm not done yet.
Good for him.
Is what he put out there. So,
seems like a wonderful man.
There's a great change to that. Yeah, my bad. I got duped. Paul Skeens, what could his upside be this year? Derek Shelton joined Chris Rose's podcast, the Chris Rose Rotation, and says that he thinks that Paul Skeens has all the tools to be in the conversation as the best young pitcher in the last 50 years. In the last 50 years, and I hear Shelton say that, and I see Shelton say that, and it just drives another wedge, I think, for Pirates fans to where you're saying that on a big-time podcast like Chris Rose's, and yet where's the help surrounding him?
I know. It's like every positive thing is accompanied by negative thoughts. You can't even enjoy it. However, having said that, I'm going to enjoy Skeens this year. And I don't think that's a big statement. He already is. He already is one of the best young pitchers in the last 50 years. I can't wait to see what the sequel is. It's kind of like Caitlin Clark. Like, you come out of nowhere, you come straight from college, and you're great. But then what's going to happen when you have an offseason to train and really know your way around the league? My God, what's this guy going to do, Limits? I can't wait to see it.
200 innings is realistically in the cards. What 200 innings and 300 strikeouts, I think, is a realistic possibility. Maybe
he's,
not
he's
300.
Obviously their opening day starter,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he will be.
He better be.
Jared Jones, the home opener?
That would be very nice of them.
I'd
yes.
take it. The
take
Yankees
a, take
home
him
opener.
Out after 59 pitches if he has a perfect game in the home opener?
57, actually. Do you want to go to the home opener, Joe? Should we go?
Yeah, I would. I would like that. Remember when we threw out the first pitch?
That was awesome.
That was very exciting.
That
Next.
Was really cool. Kellen Moore is the new Saints head coach. So now all spots have been filled for NFL head coaching vacancies. At only 36 years old, Kellen Moore will stay in New Orleans, where he won the Super Bowl as the Eagles' offensive coordinator. There was thoughts that maybe Belichick could get this spot, maybe somewhere. Maybe the Saints would go with a more veteran approach. I think it's a good thing for the Saints going with a young offensive-minded coach because they're going to need a quarterback. They went with defense with Dennis Allen, and that completely failed with Derek Carr and Ritterer and all the above.
I don't know about this one, Lance.
No?
No, he was up and down in Dallas, and they moved on.
He was handcuffed in Dallas with
maybe.
McCarthy and
we'll see.
Jerry.
We'll see, but he did a good job this I miss Ron Cook every single minute. That's a lie, no matter how I spin it. Am I on the air limits?
Yeah, I think you knew that.
Yeah, I did. Are you still reeling over getting fooled on the internet? Tell everybody what happened and how you're feeling.
So I got by fake Adam Schefter, and I feel like Ron when he saw, oh my gosh, Adam Schefter, a trade. The Steelers have traded Levi Wallace to the Bears for...
Do we have that clip? Look for that clip and then tell us your story.
So my story is... My story is that I saw Adam Schefter had 2 million engagements, and I didn't see the little one as an L in Schefter from this report that said Andy Reid said that DeAndre Hopkins is retiring. Which, after hearing Xavier Worthy say DeAndre Hopkins is probably not going to be here next year, I took that as, oh, so yeah, he's just retiring. He's not coming back. DeAndre Hopkins disputed that claim and said that it's not true. He doesn't know where that came from, and
is the emotion
a false report.
Is the emotion you're feeling anger toward yourself, anger toward the report, embarrassment, or
yes,
embarrassment?
All the above.
You don't deserve that.
All the above.
This happens to everybody.
This is the first time it's happened to me on the
show.
There
you go.
It's the first time.
It's okay. Nobody cares that much. It'll all be forgotten by tomorrow.
And
Ron lived with that, I think, for a decade.
For decades. He's still living with it right now.
When he made a mistake, it was like, Ron, it's okay. He said something about Dave Parker one day that was erroneous, and he just couldn't let it go.
And now I supposedly misspoke on my stat about the Super Bowl that one team has had a pick six and lost the Super Bowl. Every other team that has had a pick six won, and it was the Falcons. And people are coming at me on the text line saying James Harrison had a pick six. Yes,
of
course.
They won the game.
Only one team lost.
You didn't misspeak there. Your question was clear.
Now I'm questioning myself. Now I'm going to go into a
rabbit hole. There was one pick six in a losing effort in Super Bowl history. That was the Falcons. You were right about that.
If Punxsutawney Phil has any
now
more room
yourself.
Underground in that hole, I will join him there, and I will stay there under a rock for a couple of days.
Don't worry about it. We forge ahead, and we forge ahead with some very interesting little NFL notes here. Wow. Why don't we start with Patrick Peterson, who, remember, just last season was on the Steelers. I mean, he's in the locker room. He's in the meetings every day. This is what he had to say about the state of the Steelers' offense.
This was on the All Facts, No Breaks podcast.
No, I don't think so. Just because how they were able to operate with Justin Field last year, I mean, he was solid, but he wasn't anything that made anyone scared. And I feel like Pittsburgh needs to shake up the offensive style a little bit. It's still back, you know, the way they're calling plays still in the 90s. You know what I mean? Now you want to be a little bit more innovative, you know, with, I won't necessarily say trick plays, but have a little bit more spice in your offense.
Yeah.
A little bit more, you know, eye candy, having some motions, having some shifts and things like that to be able to get
too bland.
Yeah, get your playmakers involved in the game. So I don't think either one of those quarterbacks is the long-term solution, because Russell is what, going into year 14.
Yeah.
And like I said, it really looks like they don't really trust to give Justin Fields the keys fully.
There's a lot there. First of all, what playmakers is what I would say. George Pickens tops the list, and you're never quite sure if he's trying or engaged in the game, which is problematic. I don't know that they have an overabundance of playmakers, but I do hear what he's saying, and that's pretty indicting to call this offense stuck in the 90s is basically what he said.
Stuck in the 90s.
Stuck in the 90s.
Man, that Neil O'Donnell offense, they were humming in 95, going to the Super Bowl before all the picks.
This idea that Arthur Smith that's being propagated, is that the right word?
Yeah.
That he did a good job this year, it to me is insane. In spite of the quarterbacks, in spite of this, in spite of that, they became the first team. You think Matt Canada didn't have problems at the quarterback position? In some ways, the end of this year was worse than Canada ever with the Steelers. Artie Smith went five straight games, including the playoff game, without eclipsing 17 points. That's the first time that's happened to the Steelers since Chuck Knoll was here. So please don't tell me that Artie Smith did some great job working around all the issues this year. And if you do believe that, what an indictment of their draft process. I mean, they have a first-round draft pick at running back, second-round pick at tight end, second-round pick as one of their receivers, and all kinds of high picks along the offensive line. This is a disaster.
November 2nd was the last time, Joe, that the Steelers scored an opening drive touchdown.
They didn't score an opening drive touchdown all year.
No, not this year. November 2nd. Oh, 2023. 2023.
You're reeling right now, Limits. You're slumping right now. Now you're mad at me.
No, I'm not mad.
I know.
I'm holding myself accountable.
You're hurt by the DeAndre Hopkins.
November 2nd, 2023.
2023.
Was the last time.
Arthur Smith had the worst first down offense, one of the worst fourth down offenses. As I always say, that only leaves second and third down, and they weren't very good there either. His best thinking had him on a night when Russell was actually really hot in Cleveland, playing great in the second half. Artie Smith's best thinking had him putting a frozen Justin Fields in the game and trying a long pass down the right sidelines. Get out of here with the Arthur Smith did a good job stuff. Please. And by the way, while I'm on that rant, let me get back into this Tomlin Coach of the Year stuff. May I, Limits?
Do it.
Can I find it? The Tomlin Coach of the Year stuff. Michael Silver had Tomlin third in Coach of the Year. Will you please tell me how that makes sense? Go ahead. Make a case for Tomlin third in the NFL.
I can't, but the best way that I would put it is that Michael Silver saw the Steelers go 10-3, and he's a Bay Area native. So maybe when the 49ers season completely collapsed in on itself and everybody was hurt and they fell apart down the stretch, maybe Michael Silver turned off his TV and didn't watch the NFL for the final month because the 49ers were playing bad. He's a very good reporter, but maybe he just didn't see what was going on with the Steelers in the NFL. And 10-3 sounds pretty good. Tomlin did a good job. It was Artie Smith and Russell Wilson's fault.
Was it that none of these voters knew that their votes would be revealed, so they would sneak in votes for people? They each get to vote for first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Somebody out there tell me, like I can't even play devil's advocate on how Tomlin did one of the five best jobs, not let alone three. The Steelers were at 8.5. They did eclipse their win total by 1.5 wins. They also had a historic collapse down the stretch and blew a divisional lead and made the playoffs in the end by one game. So I'm looking at these. Lindsey Jones has Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, and Jim Harbaugh. So I would ask her, on what planet did Mike Tomlin do a better coaching job than Dan Quinn? And why are there so many people who left Quinn off their list? He seems like a likable guy.
Yeah.
And he took a 3-14 team with a rookie quarterback, and they had a hell of a year. What are we doing here?
I wonder if the lull that they had in the middle of the year, that's what is kind of surprising to me about this whole entire thing, Joe. Like, it seems like the end of the season has been somewhat devalued in some of these voting metrics. Like,
they made up their minds early, and that was that.
Like, maybe that was the case with Myles Garrett last year. If that was the case, TJ Watt should have won it this year. But, I mean, Washington had a good win against Philadelphia. I know Jalen Hurts was banged up. They had a really good close to the season. So,
Mike Silver has Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin. I'm almost speechless. I'd love to have him on the show. See if you can locate him. What in the world is the argument that Mike Tomlin did a better job than Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, the guy who won the AFC North? What are we talking about? I can't believe it. I really can't. Tony Dungy, Kevin O'Connell, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, Dan Campbell, Sean Payton. How did Mike Tomlin do a better job than Dan Campbell? More with less? He did less with less. How is Dan Quinn not on Tony Dungy's five top candidates? Tony, what are you doing? The guy was they were 3-14 last year. Deontay Lee, Mike Tomlin third behind O'Connell and Harbaugh, ahead of Campbell and Payton. No Dan Quinn, no Andy Reid. I mean, there's plenty of others too. Sean McDermott, Matt LaFleur. They hung around pretty nicely, despite some major issues there, if that's the idea behind voting for this. Who else had Tomlin on here? I don't get it. There's just such a divide, national media to local media, and still exists, judging by this. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Tom Silverstein, Campbell, O'Connell, Quinn, McVay, and Tomlin. Tomlin did one of the five, according to him, Tomlin did one of the five best coaching jobs in all of football this year. Do you understand it, Limits? I don't.
I don't at all. I really don't understand it whatsoever. Like, 10-3 looked great. There's no denying that. But the old saying that it's not how you start, it's how you finish, matters for a reason.
Just give me the final record and the circumstances. I get it. He had two quarterbacks. He had one that he was 4-2. He chose to change, got wildly praised for it, and in the end had people questioning whether it was the right move. His team fell apart. How many coaches in history can say they got votes for coach of the year in a year where their team fell apart? I'll pick a guy in every division who did a better job than Tomlin. Sean McDermott went 13-4, despite the fact they came back with no receivers. People thought they were going to have a sort of step-back year in Buffalo. He goes 13-4. John Harbaugh won the division in Baltimore, overcame an 0-2 start, went 12-5, and beat the Steelers when it counted. But the other guy did a better job? D'Amico Ryans went 10-7. Yeah, they were supposed to be better. You could look at it as underachieving, but they won the division. They looked better at the start than they did at the beginning. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton all did better jobs than Tomlin. Nick Sirianni, Dan Quinn both did better jobs than Tomlin. Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, and Matt LaFleur all did better jobs than Tomlin. Sean McVay did a better job than Tomlin. Who's ever coaching the Seahawks did just as good a job. They went 10-7 last I checked.
McDonald, the old defensive coordinator
That's
with
right.
the Ravens.
Mike McDonald. Todd Bowles won a division 10-7 with the Bucs. Lost a great receiver, lost some other guy. It's ridiculous. What are we doing? How does he get coach of the year votes? Have I lost my mind?
No. And Ben Roethlisberger, James Harrison and others even come out and criticize and critique Mike Tomlin. Ramon Foster saying if there's any time to do it, it would be now. But yet that's coach of the year worthy? Some of Tomlin's best former players are questioning him or questioning his judgment or questioning the direction of the program? Like, I don't know how much of a bigger indictment you can get than that. And yet he should be coach of the year candidate.
Here's a little... Now look at this crap. Colin Cowherd talking about, and I don't know what his opinion is, I just see the question on the screen. Will the Super Bowl performance impact Mahomes' legacy? I mean, yeah, he could have been the only guy to win three in a row, but if the insinuation there is there's some, like, you know, blight on his resume now, he made it to the Super Bowl again. He had a bad game. I think he's won three of them, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, three.
So I look at it kind of like Jack Nicklaus finishing second at the Masters just a ridiculous amount of times. That doesn't hurt his resume. That enhances it.
Well, if he would have won that Super Bowl, I think the GOAT debate becomes a real conversation with him and Brady. And now It seems like anytime Brady's in the building, whether he's beating him at 42 with Tampa or he's calling the game and Mahomes is running around for his life, the ghost of Tom Brady is still in effect if Patrick Mahomes is in the building.
That's true. That is actually true. If he wins three in a row, he could. So how does it impact his legacy? Well, if he wins that game, he would have a legit argument over Brady. I concede the point to you there, Limits, and I'm also trying to make you feel good after the DeAndre Hopkins disaster.
I appreciate that.
I do concede that point. I just feel like, you know, it's almost like somebody like Dan Marino. The fact that he didn't win a Super Bowl, well, obviously that would have enhanced his resume. But does it hurt him that he never won one? Does it hurt the legacy? He's still one of the top five to eight quarterbacks ever, right?
Yeah, but you're talking about the greatest of all time. And when one guy has seven Super Bowls and with two different teams and Brady beat Mahomes and just the longevity of 20-plus years. Brady won, what, two Super Bowls in his 40s? Maybe it was three?
Yeah.
Incredible. I don't think anybody can ever reach it.
Incredulent, some would say. I also saw a graphic today, the top 10 highest-paid receivers in the NFL, and how only four of them made the playoffs. Six of them missed. I don't know that I read too much into that. If the implication there is that you don't need to have, you know, a $30 million receiver, I ain't buying it, because A.J. Brown's $32 million, and he was pretty critical to that team winning. St. Brown is at $30 million, fourth overall. They were a number one seed. Justin Jefferson, everybody picked that guy as the coach of the year, not Justin Jefferson, but his coach. They had a great year. He's the highest paid receiver in football, $35 million. Seems to me that high-paid receivers kind of help you. Brandon Ayuk didn't play, so you can't really include him. And then the Dolphins are stupid. You know, they signed Waddle to $28 million after they already had Tyreek Hill. Those are two others. And then the Jets are a joke. So I'm not reading anything into that. C.D. Lamb is second at $34 million. I'd still love to have C.D. Lamb, even at $34 million. I think receivers are game changers myself. Limits, that graphic does not sway me in any other direction.
I personally think that the Steelers need to do everything possible to draft an offensive weapon, whether it's a receiver or Tyler Warren, or, you know, I wouldn't go running back, but a receiver that can make a high impact in the first round, because it's a deep defensive tackle draft, and they'd be derelict of duty if they did not go out there and get an offensive piece, which is how they've neglected offensive weapons and only paying $48 million on offense this year.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we have a treat coming up here. Ron Cook may make an appearance. Not an appearance, but somehow. Via video, maybe? Can we get Ron for this? It's the Fan's 15-year anniversary, February 26 at Rivers Casino. All of us will be on site, telling stories of the past 15 years, videos from former hosts and guests. There you go. Maybe we get Vinny on a video. What if Ron and Vinny could do a segment on video on a sports topic? Would that be tremendous?
What would they talk about?
Anything.
Would they just riff about their past grievances with each other?
Yes. I think it would be wonderful. Vendor booths, of course. You can meet and mingle with all of us. The event is free, but you need a ticket to get in. So check out 937thefan.com. On locations where you go to get tickets. The Fan's 15th anniversary is brought to you by Guardian Protection, IC Light, and Firehouse Subs at the Point, North Fayette. Did I do the text line yet, Limits?
Yes.
Did I do the hotline?
Yes.
I'm doing well so far, aren't I?
Yes, you are, on the right track.
There's another clip that I wanted to play, and this was from Marcus Spears, former NFL player. May we indulge in that one, Limits?
Yes, we may, from NFL Live on ESPN.
I wonder if Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers could coexist in Pittsburgh. Ooh. And RC, you know that culture and situation better than me. And we've talked about it for a long time, about how Pittsburgh's culture is what it is, and it's not going to change for any individual. And I wonder, I think Mike Tomlin has the stature to have conversations with Aaron Rodgers and not to actually meet him in the middle, but to have a working relationship until you can get this thing figured out, or if you think he can play at a high enough level for 1 or 2 years. You look at the run game in Pittsburgh, it can be pretty good. You look at the outside, obviously some more maturity with your star wide receiver, but could that be something that could be facilitated? And a defense that should get back to playing at a very high level. We've seen the little eye contact, the little back and forth between him and Mike Tomlin, and that just popped in my mind. What is that relationship really like? Have they had any interaction before? I'd be interested to see if Pittsburgh makes a play for A. Rodgers.
So would I. And that little bromance, Pomp brushed it off the other day. I thought it was always interesting. Even this year, there's that little back and forth with Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. And man, I got asked a question in my intergalactically read Post-Gazette mailbag today, Limits, of, excuse me, but do the Steelers have a plan if neither Justin Fields or Russell Wilson comes back? What might that plan be?
I don't think they do right now. I don't. But Rodgers would be logical, and according to the odds makers,
he would be logical.
You like possible. Very good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Better than yours.
I didn't have one.
I know. I'd go for Aaron Rodgers. Would you?
Yes. And part of it is,
I'm not saying, let me clarify there. I'm not saying that I think that Aaron Rodgers is very good at this point in his career, or that I would necessarily choose him over even Justin Fields. But given their predicament, it might be the best solution just to see if he can still play a little bit. Like, if they don't get Fields or Wilson, who's got a better solution? Tell me.
Sam Darnold? But I don't know if he would fit with the Arthur Smith scheme. What is the Arthur Smith scheme? Do we even know it?
Is Sam Darnold going back to Minnesota or no?
Probably. Kevin O'Connell said some things right around Super Bowl time that makes it seem likely that Darnold will return.
So where do you go if not? And if they're screwing up the Fields thing right now by still flirting with Wilson, are they doing themselves a disservice? For me, I think I would have made it clear that Fields is my guy. And if that means paying a little extra for him, then pay a little extra.
$15 million, maybe 20 tops. SpotTrack rejects seven.
No. $20 million for Justin Fields?
There's going to be a market for him.
I'll be honest with you. What I said yesterday is still how I feel. The best thing for this franchise would be to take a step back next year intentionally. That doesn't mean you ask Tomlin and the players, of course, obviously, to not give their best. So if Mike, if you trade TJ, trade Minka, trade Pickens, and get a mediocre quarterback in here in an effort to take a step back, and Mike Tomlin overcomes all that, God bless him. But if I'm Art Rooney, I'm taking a step back this year. It's just time.
What makes you think that they need to trade Pickens and trade Watt for that step to be taken back, considering what happened over the last five games?
Part of taking a step back is to recoup assets and set yourself up moving forward, perhaps to get that franchise quarterback, and especially TJ could put you in a position where you can either parlay picks or use the picks you get for him to do that when the draft comes to Pittsburgh. Limits.
According to DraftKings, the Steelers have the best odds, 2-1 odds for Aaron Rodgers. Next up is the Raiders, 3-1. The best odds, the Steelers, 2-1. 2-1!
And here's the reason I won't laugh at that, and nobody should. All of Pittsburgh media lost their laugh at the Steelers quarterback situation card last year. And really the Kenny Pickett year, because almost nobody, once it was reported that they wouldn't take Pickett, thought they would. And absolutely nobody thought that they were going to bring in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So nobody has a right to scoff at that, at those odds, or at any report that comes out suggesting Tomlin might be interested in Rodgers. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, by the way, if it happened. Would you?
No. At this rate, no.
How could you be?
Because, I mean, nothing at this point would surprise me, because the aggression that Omar Khan has shown, whether it be in free agency or in trades, has made me think that this is a possibility. And if Fields wants to go and they don't feel good enough about Fields where they're on the fence and he sees that and he doesn't want to be a part of like being the second option, like if it's Wilson and that just has completely fallen short, and maybe Fields does think that. Like, I was the second pick for you. You signed Russell Wilson first. You traded for me second. You put me in first, and then I ended up being the second guy because you thought Wilson was better, and you put him in, and I had to ride the bench and watch for the rest of the year.
And you know your guys are talking to their guys, like if you're Justin Fields, it happens all over the league.
Yeah.
Back channels, would I be the starter in Vegas? You know, would that be possible? There's a chance Justin Fields is out of here.
My prediction is that if he leaves the Steelers, Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints with Kellen Moore running a similar offense like Jalen Hurts. It just makes sense.
Holy horse milk. Then who's the Steelers quarterback? You got a prediction for that?
Not at the moment. It's Fields, but if it's not Fields, the rest of the field.
Carson Wentz?
No. Carson Wentz?
I'm kidding.
Any other backups? Marcus Mariota, Tommy DeVito, you want to bring in here?
Yeah, Tommy DeVito, I want to bring in. Of course not Carson Wentz. But who else? Who, like that person asked me in the mailbag, who else?
Kirk Cousins?
Which is why they may wind up, now that I think about it, bringing back Russell Wilson. It may be just a marriage of desperation. I can't find anybody else to marry me. Okay, I'll marry you.
It's that if we're not married by 40, we'll just marry each other.
Don't
you pack that you make with your friends.
I got married at 41.
You never heard of that before?
Yes.
If you're married, if you and
just
a friend
insulted
are,
me.
I'm sorry, I didn't know. My dad was married late too.
come up with the best answers.
That's true. My dad was like 39 when he got married.
I know age doesn't necessarily convey desperation, but although it may have, now that I think about it, I don't know.
He
I don't know.
He was 37, yeah.
But if you have nobody, if there's nobody else out there and it's getting late, you're like, okay, you know, it reminds me of some of the Penguins practices and hiring coaches back at the turn of the century. That's why Russell Wilson, I just said it out loud to myself and it made sense. That's why Russell Wilson might wind up back here is because if Justin Fields has better options and thinks he wants to leave, then what the hell else are you going to do?
The only thing that I could realistically think of as a possibility is if they try to trade for a younger quarterback like Trey Lance, which, I mean, at this point might just end up being a free agent and getting cut from Dallas. Or could there be, there's a surprise every year where a quarterback becomes available. Could there be a team that gets completely frustrated with their guy and wants to move
maybe
off of them? Kyler Murray would be the only realistic
Kyler
one.
Kyler Murray, maybe. Matthew Stafford, that situation may not resolve itself. Who knows? You're right about that, though. Somebody usually becomes available. But Aaron Rodgers is quite intriguing. I also love the blow-up factor. Like, if it didn't work, it would not work to catastrophic proportions, which might be interesting to watch and might be the best thing for them.
Our friend Fansville on Twitter comments and says, Derek Carr, who I have absolutely no interest in being the Steelers quarterback.
Derek Carr is better than Justin Fields.
Derek Carr has also been pretty mediocre for a long time, and that would keep the Steelers in the exact same spot that they've been.
Is he better than Russell Wilson? Yeah, of course. So
I don't know. I don't think
so.
He
who
is.
Wouldn't limits? Tell me who would not, who would take the Steelers up a level from that. I'd be curious to hear.
Fields is probably the best option out of all of them.
He ain't taking the Steelers to.
None of them are great.
Land.
None of them are
right,
taking the Steelers to the promised
you
land.
You scoff at Derek Carr. What are you scoffing at?
I feel like Derek Carr would be right in that range of 9-8, regardless.
Yes, he would. Exactly.
And Fields maybe 10-7, which I'd rather take a chance on Aaron Rodgers being fun, being quirky, being entertaining.
So would
I. And if they're bad, great. Fine.
Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com says the Steelers training camp slowed them down by the middle end of the year. He said they look like a dead-legged team. They look tired and exhausted, which to me is reason to at least consider studying practices in terms of how aggressive you want to go in training camp. Now, I'm looking at this on Steelers Depot, where they bring up the Patrick Queen quote from camp, where he said it's kind of crazy to tackle at practice. Rookie Peyton Wilson, as they said on Depot, meant this in a positive way, but he did say it's like a whole season worth of tackling at training camp. I mean, I think there's something to this, actually. And plus, there were lots of injuries. I don't know which ones to pin. You know, Tomlin himself, as he talked around every single issue at his season-closing news conference, made sure to say, hey, we'll be looking at our medical staff or our training staff, whatever it is, because we had a lot of soft tissue injuries. How about him throwing that detail in there? I wouldn't want to be one of those guys right now.
Would you? It doesn't seem like they're going anywhere.
But was it them? Was it bad luck? Or was it part overexerting his team in camp and in practice? I don't know. I think it's a very fair question that Daniel Jeremiah has raised.
Well, we know that they run very physical, tough practices for as many as they can have under the collective bargaining agreement.
He's talking specifically about camp, and I think he has a point. And when one of your players said it felt like a whole season worth of tackling, I don't think it's the way to go. Maybe they got off to a nice start, but the finish didn't go so well.
No. And, I mean, if they have to change it up in camp and just go, for the most part, football in shorts, how much will that significantly change? I don't know.
I think it's at least something to explore.